All verses, 14. The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Remember, the temple hasn't been built yet when David is writing this. And this isn't just some desire that it will be, you'll see. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and keep me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Lord, help us to do this. Help us to live this. Speak to us about this, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Imagine being so confident that if war broke out against you personally, as it did against David many times, you'd still be confident. Think about it. Imagine being able to face a heavily armed giant whom others have run from, and you have no armor of your own, and saying, you come against me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies. Imagine that kind of confidence. What kind of a peace is that? Peace that surpasses understanding, right? Philippians 4:7, and there is only one way to get it. We need to break this down a bit. Look at verse 4 and following. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of a sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. Paul writes in one of the epistles, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. In other words, that light may fall on your heart so that you may know the riches of the glory of God in Christ Jesus. It's this vision. Bev was referring to it when she said, suddenly, you know, everything's different. I see things in a new way. One thing. Does that language sound familiar to you? Think about it. Where have you heard it before? Oh. Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. But only one thing is necessary. Luke 10, 41 and 42. Everything hinges on it. If everything else in life is falling apart, but this one thing is right, all is well. All is well. As Catherine Siena wrote, and all will be well, and all will be well, and every manner of thing will be well. And this is so much more than just a positive outlook, put on a happy face. No, this is a presence that you and I are lifted by. It is a greater life that breathes life into us and strength. And if you have this one thing, you have more than everything. Because you have the one who spoke life and creation out of nothing. And so David writes, "One thing I ask of the Lord, this only do I seek." Some look at these verses and think that, well, David's talking about contemplative prayer. To gaze on the beauty of the Lord. Yeah, yeah, that's part of it. But so much more. If you have your Bibles open, you'll notice in verses 4 through 6, David uses four different words to describe where God's presence is. We tend to just think of David sitting there, maybe in the temple, gazing upon the beauty of the Lord. Quick look. Verse 4, the house of the Lord, and seeking him in his temple, right? Verse 5, safe in his dwelling and the shelter of his sacred tent. And then, you know, if you went on into verse 6, God is lifting him above his enemies at his sacred tent. Verse 5, I'm sorry, I got to verse 6. Verse 5, safe in his dwelling, sacred tent, set me high upon a rock. Well, obviously, this is not a sacred tent high upon a rock. Right? What is David talking about? Being hidden in the presence of God. He's not talking about a physical place. He's talking about a spiritual place. He's talking about a place of the heart. That's why there are so many different references. House, dwelling, temple. I like what Ben Patterson commented on this psalm. It's not where you are, but whom you're with that makes all the difference. Threats, fear, and worry cannot touch you in God's presence. Not even disaster and death can separate you from his love. Romans 8, 31 through 39, right? The endless distractions and demands of life are unified and ordered in God's presence. The one thing needed is to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Remember that the tabernacle, for example, was a representation of the tabernacle in heaven, Scripture tells us. So what we're speaking of are spiritual realities that are of greater reality. If you remember your philosophy classes from, you know, this ascension of what is more real, but this is a greater reality than anything we know. This is a beauty the world cannot touch and cannot take away. What David prays for, Patterson writes, is the breaking down of the wall between the sacred and the secular. So must we. And we must. When you have those moments when you realize, wait a minute, God is in it. And he's not removed. He's right here. And sometimes I don't feel like it. And I can't grasp it, but it's because I'm broken. But God breaks through even that to bring the shards together in such a way that even in the broken places, He meets me. He meets me. You know, sometimes we wonder, why is it that God allows sin and death and destruction in the world? I was reading in George MacDonald this morning the thought that could it not be, these are the very things that God has allowed simply because they will bring us to the end of ourselves, into that place of crying out desperately for Him. And the only one who can set things right. This is what it means to know God, to know Jesus, to learn to live in His presence increasingly. This is what it means to be sensitive to His Spirit, what Ezekiel in the Old Testament calls a heart of flesh as opposed to a heart of stone, Ezekiel 36. And don't miss that the softer heart is actually the stronger heart. That's the thing that was missed about Jesus. They expected this conquering hero, and in walks the Lamb of God. So David writes in verse 8, "My heart says of you, seek His face. Your face, Lord, I will seek." This is the most real heart to heart you or I could ever have. It is a heart to heart with the one who knows us better than we know ourselves, and where we would turn away from ourselves reviled at times. He would turn to us and love us still. Your face, Lord, will I seek. That Old Testament concept of the face of God shining on you in favor. This is even the way Stephen is described in the book of Acts. They look on him and his face shines like the face of an angel. Why? Because the favor of God, even in that moment when they were picking up stones to kill him, and they did, the presence of God was there. And to Stephen, that's all that matters. Number 6 talks about the Lord's face shining upon us. The Lord bless you and keep you and make His face shine upon you. Think of Jesus promising He won't leave us as orphans because His Spirit will be with us. Think of David writing, "Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord won't." And imagine what that's like. The Lord will receive me. There's a tenderness here that goes deeper even than family. And there's a beauty that's better than anything that we know. And we can't just see it with our natural eyes. You know how that is. No matter how beautiful something is, and you look on it, after a while you get used to looking at it. But the beauty of God is such that we look on Him and there are facets that He shows us that we'll never tire of seeing. We'll never come to an end of those things. That's why we'll be able to praise God in heaven forever and ever, and never grow tired of it. One thing I ask, one thing I seek, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. And think about what we've seen in Jesus. Think about the wonder of his birth. Think about the wisdom, the genius of his teaching. Think about the people that he hung out with and how iconoclastic he was, you know. Think of his love poured out through anguish at the cross. Think of his miracles that could not be denied by those who opposed him. Think of the empty tomb and the way his followers went to their own deaths proclaiming it, but they were okay with it going to their deaths because of the Spirit of God within them. It's astounding. It's not what we would expect. It's so much better. And I think a great prayer is, Lord, help me to see your beauty. Help me to go there. This one thing, just to know you, to know you. I've said it before, I'll say it again. To me, the scariest words in the Bible are, away from me, I never knew you. But to know you, to see him with the eyes of our hearts, to have him take us by the hand and lift us in such a way that we know that we know. And it doesn't matter what others say about us, it may hurt, but ultimately you have a deeper place. It doesn't matter where you've been or even what you think about yourself as you carry the shame of things that you've done. There's love that covers all of that. And moves it aside with this gentle hand that says, let's move forward together. One thing. One thing. One thing I ask. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. May we do that. May we pray. Jesus, help us to hear these words in such a way that it's not just wishful thinking. It's not self-persuasion or imagination. It is the beauty of who you are and the wonder of your Spirit at work in the hearts of those who have known you for millennia. It is your choosing to reveal yourself to us through your word, through your servant David, through your son Jesus, through your Spirit. Oh, Father, for your face to shine upon us. Thank you that it did through Jesus and that we can receive this gift of your favor through receiving him and his mercy for us at the cross. And, oh Lord, we would receive your forgiveness and we would receive new life and new strength and new hope in you, a paradigm shift that the world does not get and so cannot take away. Thank you for this one thing that is better, just being with you. We receive you. We receive this by faith. And we praise you most of all that you receive us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Year-old hymn, same truth. Here's the hard part. Go seeking him not just for yourself, not just for an experience of him. Go seeking him for him. And in seeking him for him, you will find him. Ask and it will be given. Knock, seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. Keep in mind the knocking, the opening of a door implies the face of a friend. Bernard of Clairvaux, 900 years ago. Yeah, that was translated in English later, I get that. But 900 years ago, almost. The love of Jesus, what it is, none but his loved ones know. He has ways of showing you that are uniquely for you because he made you. And knows you individually so that you will know that you know that you know that He is with you, that you are loved, that He is good. And the hunger of your heart will be for nothing less. But we must seek Him for Him. Seek His face and not His hand. And He will meet us in that place. Father, bless us to do this. To just love you. To live with you. To live for you. In Jesus' name. Amen.